The Man in the Iron Mask.
During their honeymoon off the coast of France, Michael and Louise Dent, aboard their luxury yacht, reach a strange island. It is here that Michael accidentally stumbles across the secret of the Man in the Iron Mask, a man whose identity has puzzled so many historians for centuries. Michael discovers a secret room above the prison suite which was occupied by the Man in the Iron Mask. He and his wife find a hideous, grinning contraption which is the mask itself. And in a beautiful inlaid writing desk is a faded diary.
I'll have to read slowly, darling. You see, I must translate as Ali did.
Yes, Michael. Do you mind if I sit near you?
Of course not.
Oh, this horrible piece of metal, this grinning contraption.
The mask?
Yes.
Just a moment. It's a horrible instrument, isn't it? Just imagine that your head is locked at this, at the back. See?
Oh, awful.
Well, I'd better begin. This is a record of the unfortunate man whom it was my duty to care for from the time when he was a baby until the time long since when he met his death. It has been my secret charge not to reveal his name, and this promise I kept. But I hope in the centuries to come that the kindliness and the valor and the worthiness of this ward of mine will become known to the world of tomorrow. It's signed Georges Saint-Marc.
Who is Georges Saint-Marc?
Well, you learn as I read on. The events which I describe relating to the man and the iron mask have all been pieced together after several years of contemplation. Some of these events I had no knowledge of at the time, but later I learned what I know now and what I have written in this diary. For instance, I did not know at the time, in September 1659, that my ward, who was known as Edmond Martiale, had been frequently meeting the daughter of a peasant farmer on the outskirts of the village where my estate was situated. Picture this little peasant farm in Gascoigne, the apple blossom in full bloom, a bountiful harvest, lush green grass growing by a brook which flowed through Farmer Frederick's land. And Edmond Martiale, my ward, tall, very fair, very good-looking, carrying in his arms the petite Marguerite, daughter of Monsieur Frederick. Already, he stepped gingerly into the shallow running waters of the brook, and the music of the running waters harmonizes with the sweet laughter of his pretty farmer's daughter.
Hold still. If I slip as I carry you across.
What about the geese?
Oh, they'll swim across, silly.
Yes, but who is going to chase them?
Oh, I suppose I'll have to get my teeth wet all over again. There you are. So why we didn't walk down to the boundary fence and cross by the little...
It's time for the milking. And walking is easy.
I know. It takes us a long time, doesn't it? There's so much to talk about. So much to... Oh, Marguerite. I do love you, sir.
But why? That's what I can't understand. Oh, Edmund, you don't belong here. Your place is up there on the hill, the Mark House.
But it isn't. I was never happy there. Truly. And if I'd known all these years that I was growing up inside those walls, while you were here on this farm. It's amazing to think that it's only 2 weeks since we met. Just a chance meeting on a country road. Why are you frowning?
Edmund, I'm frightened. You are not for me, I know that. The villagers are beginning to talk.
But why not? I love you, Marguerite. Isn't that enough? And you love me. You do, don't you?
Oh, more than anything else on this earth. Ever since that day on the country road when you picked me up and put me on your horse and brought me in, I thought of nobody else. Papa wonders what has happened to me.
What have the villagers been saying?
What they always say about you. That your family must be one of the greatest in France. Because of the goings and comings at the Saint-Marc castle.
But my family isn't a great family. My guardian Saint-Marc told me so. Don't you see, we're quite ordinary people, really. I understand the Marchialis had a small estate just outside of Paris. And when my father and mother died, I was entrusted to my guardian's care. He's like a father to me, as you know. I've been with him ever since I was a baby, ever since I can remember.
But your way of life... Oh, Edmund, don't you see? I've been brought up here on this farm. I milk the cows, I look after the geese, I do all the housework for Papa. Look at my hands. Those aren't the hands of the fine ladies that come to your house.
The most beautiful hands I've ever seen. Like butterflies.
Oh, you say the nicest things, Edmund. But don't be nice to me anymore, please. You're going to break my heart, I know you are.
Oh, don't say that.
I can't see it any other way. If your guardian knew about the two of us, if he knew that... Edmund, you didn't mean it last night when you asked me to.
When I asked you to marry me? Oh, my heart, I just can't live without you. That's the truth.
Have you told your guardian yet?
I intended to tell him at breakfast this morning, but he went out hunting early. I shall tell him tonight. Why, Marguerite, your clock. Look, they're following you across. Well, that saves me another wetting. Oh, darling, what's the matter? You look so unhappy.
Tell me what's the matter from my face, won't you? I almost know before he speaks. But come back to the farm just once and tell me.
When I come back to this farm, I shall take you away. Right up there to the castle on the hill. And one day you'll be mistress of Sanmar Castle. I promise that, sweetheart. I promise it with all my heart.
It's spoilt the hunt, Edmund. There we were with the prospect of at least 24 partridges, and then this bear crosses our path.
A bear?
Yes, and who should he attack but me? I tell you, it was all I could do to keep him off.
Uncle George.
Yes?
Now that we're alone together here in the library tonight, if you could compose yourself, prepare yourself for a surprise.
A surprise?
I've fallen in love, Uncle George.
In love?
Yes.
I don't understand this. There's no one here in Gascon. I mean, we've had no visitors at the castle since this time last year. No ladies?
This lady lives on the outskirts of the village.
On the outskirts of the village? Who is she?
Her name is Marguerite Frederick. She's the daughter of Papa Frederick, a farmer.
Papa Frederick? You don't... Not that yokel who brings us our pumpkins and our cabbages. Not that white-haired old man with a stick.
Yeah, the same.
And you're in love with his daughter?
I've asked her to marry me.
Asked her to marry? Edmund, are you crazy? Have you taken leave of your senses?
I was never more sane in my life, Uncle. For the first time, I know what it is to be alive. To be happy when I hear a bird sing. To exult when I see the sun coming up in the morning. Another day. Another day for me to be with Marguerite.
Edmund, this is a terrible shock. I had no idea. I mean, I looked upon you as just a boy.
Just a boy? But I'm 21, Uncle. Didn't it ever occur to you that I might want to get married?
And you thought. Years seem to have rushed over so quickly. Edmund, you can't entertain the idea of marrying a peasant woman.
Listen, Uncle Georges. I've always looked upon you as a father. I love you as a father. But with all my respect and all my love, you can't make me alter my mind. I'm determined that I shall marry Marguerite Frederick. And that's something that nobody can alter. I'm sorry, Uncle, if you don't approve.
Enter. Monsieur Fon has arrived by coach from Paris.
Monsieur Fon, don't keep him waiting. Show him in at once.
Oui, monsieur. Will you step this way, Monsieur Fon?
Thank you.
Oh, my dear Cardinal. At last, shut your mouth. All right, lackey. You can go. Is the country going to your head? You developing into a hobbledehoy village idiot? Oh, my apologies, Cardinal. But the lackey can be trusted. He is my personal servant. In the joy of seeing you, I didn't realize. I thought we were alone.
Then be more careful in future. If it got about that Cardinal Mazarin from the court of King Louis was visiting you here,
yeah,
of all places.
No, and I'm grievously opposed. I apologize most humbly, my dear Cardinal. Won't you sit down? I'll send for wine.
In a few moments. Let's get down to business first. You sent me an urgent message. Your messenger said he rode all day and all night.
Yes.
I knew that you wouldn't send for me to come personally unless it was something critical. What has happened?
It is my ward. You know who I mean.
Naturally. What is wrong with you?
Not ill in body, but as far as the mind is concerned. Well, if one could call love an illness.
You mean
that? He's fallen in love, Cardinal. He's fallen in love with a peasant girl who lives on the outskirts of the village.
Gosh, this is monstrous. Edmund of all people.
I know. When I heard, I was beside myself with anxiety. I have talked with him. But I have suddenly discovered that he has developed a will of his own, a mind of his own. He is determined to marry this girl.
Marry her? Marry the daughter of a peasant when he is...
Shh.
Yes, of course. This foolishness is catching. I almost said what should never even be breathed. So, Edmund wants to marry. That, of course, is out of the question.
I am powerless. I can do nothing in this matter. The responsibility is now yours, Cardinal. I, like you, realize that if Edmund Marchiali married and there were children, it would wreck France from border to border.
It seems that young Edmund Marchiali is connected in some powerful way with the destiny of France. For here in this room sits Cardinal Mazarin, who is said to rule behind the throne. Make sure you hear the next exciting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.